I know that all of us have experienced from time to time in our life the feeling that just need somebody to talk to. Have you been there? I know that we all have. Just a need to be able to confide in someone and especially to get counsel and advice from someone. Maybe you're dealing with a particularly hard time in your life or some issue has come up. You just feel unprepared and just don't feel like you have a good grasp on what would be the best way to approach this situation, and you just feel like you need someone that you can talk to, a friend that you can trust, someone that you regard to be especially wise, someone that will tell us what is right, someone who has an objective ability to evaluate things, and maybe someone who can look at it from a different perspective. We have all been there. We have all experienced that. The Bible actually talks about our need for counselors, and that it's important for us to seek good counselors. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety." And so if you don't have somebody that you count on who can give you advice, the book of Proverbs says you're in trouble. You're probably going to take a fall. In Proverbs 15, verse 22, "Without counselors, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." So these verses suggest a need then for having people who can give us that advice. And tonight, for just a few minutes, we want to investigate some principles whereby we can choose those counselors. We all need them from time to time. And we want to look at some principles that will help us choose good counselors. Now, I want to emphasize the idea of good counselors. There are plenty of people out there giving counsel. You know, almost everybody has an opinion. You can ask somebody and they'll tell you what they think. And even beyond that, there are so-called professionals out there who will give you instruction and counsel. But very often the advice that they give is not trustworthy, it's not godly, and it's not based upon the truths contained in the Scriptures, and we've got to be careful about that. And so while we're talking about a common need, a need to get counsel from time to time, the thing we really want to stress, and that's what our lesson is going to be based upon tonight, is that we need to seek good counselors, those who are going to give us the proper sort of instruction. Before we go further, we take just a minute to re-echo the words of Alvin. We're glad that you're here. I always say that the Sunday night crowd, you're the, sort of the diehards. You're the ones who are going to be here irregardless of weather or other things that keep some people away. You will come, and we appreciate you for that very much. As always, it seems we always have visitors at College Union. We do again tonight. We're glad that you're here, and we appreciate your presence, and we want you to come back just whenever that you can. Let's talk about seeking good counselors. And let's notice some things about good counselors. If we're going to choose them, what we've got to do is be able to identify them. What are their characteristics? First of all, I would tell you that good counselors are absolutely guided by the Word of God. Now, this all of the things that we're going to be saying tonight are sort of common sense observations. And this one should be common sense to those of us who believe in the Bible, believe it's from God, and believe it's a revelation of His truth. We want somebody who will give us advice based upon the things that are taught in the Word of God. Help us to see how we can apply the principles of the Word of God into this situation that we're dealing with. That's what we're looking for. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, who don't do that. And a lot of counselors, even people who take pay to be counselors, will give advice that's contrary to the Word of God. If you've got trouble, you need to go to the right source for the answer to that trouble. Might give a sort of a parallel example. Let's say that you were seeking advice with your taxes. Maybe you've got some tax issues. Maybe you've been notified from the IRS that they're going to audit your tax account, and you very well may be subject to certain fines and penalties. And so you need some good tax advice. Who are you going to go to? You're going to seek out a tax advisor who is from Slovakia, and he's very up to date on all the tax codes in Slovakia, but he didn't know a thing about the tax codes that you live under in the United States. Well, obviously not. You don't need advice from somebody like that. You need advice from somebody who knows what they're talking about from the right source. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. We need people who are going to be guided by the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That's the problem with seeking counsel from men who are not grounded in the Scriptures, Because they'll tell you what seems to be right to them. But when we follow the counsels and advice of men, worldly men, the ends of that are destruction. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You notice that last phrase, the counsel of the Lord, that's what's going to stand. And so when we're seeking counsel and when we're looking for counselors, let's make sure we're looking for those who are guided by the Word of God. Also, good counselors are people who have practical experience in godly living. We've known and read and studied about those who are dealing with some very hard issues in their life. For instance, if you talk to someone who has had a drug or alcohol addiction, and they're seeking people who can help them overcome those things, very often the most helpful people in dealing with those kind of issues are people themselves who have been there and who have suffered through some of those same problems and have overcome them in their own lives. Now, what we're saying is that people who have practical experience are often able to give good advice in a wide, not just about drug or alcohol problems, but about a wide variety of things. People who have practical experience in godly living are going to be the kind of people who can help us the most. People that we ought to look for are the people who've fought some of the same battles that we're fighting, have been through some of the same difficulties, felt some of the same pains, who by their own personal experience know the problems that we're dealing with and the pitfalls that are before us. In the reading that Jordan read earlier, is that familiar episode about Rehoboam. You remember Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and the reign of Israel had come to him. Now he's going to be the king. And so he wants to know how he can secure his position as the new king over Israel. But did you remember that episode? And when Jordan read it to you, did you note the terrible mistake that he made? King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant to this people this day and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Notice, he forsook the counsel of the old men, the men who had the practical experience to be able to give him the right advice, and he went with the advice of the young men who had no experience, and their advice was absolutely totally wrong. And of course, we remember that because he took the wrong counsel, it ended up dividing the kingdom, and it stood divided from then on. And so Rehoboam was one who did not seek good counselors. We can learn from his mistake, but of course his mistakes have been repeated again and again. So good counselors are not only guided by the Word of God, but they have practical experience themselves in living a godly life. Good counselors are the kind of counselors who are always going to tell us the truth. They're going to tell us the truth even when the truth hurts. You know, sometimes we use that expression, the truth hurts. But good counselors are going to be the kind of counselors who tell us what we need even when the truth hurts. Can you imagine a person in a position in which he deals with potentially dangerous and life-threatening conditions? I knew a fellow who was an air traffic controller. So here's this guy, and he's working in an air traffic control center, and he's got two airplanes on a dead collision course. I mean, they're going to collide. There's going to be a terrible, awful mid-air collision. Things are going to be awful. Lots of people are going to die. Can you imagine a fellow in that situation? But he doesn't want to alarm anybody. He doesn't want to get anybody upset. And so he doesn't say anything about it. He sees the two planes headed for one another, but he never speaks out to announce the danger and to tell of the threat. Now, it'll cause some alarm for sure if he does, but it'll save lives, but he decides to stay silent instead. Well, that would never work, would it? You wouldn't do that in any other kind of a situation, but unfortunately, for some reason, in spiritual matters, sometimes people withhold the truth from folks who need to hear it. Good counselors won't do that. Good counselors will always tell you the truth. When our eternal souls are at stake, then we need the truth. You tell me the truth. If you see that I'm doing something wrong, if you see that I'm in error, if you see that I need a correction, by all means tell me the truth. If my soul is at stake, I want that, and you should want it too. You should tell me the truth even when I don't like to hear it. You should tell me the truth even when it's not pleasant. We don't need spiritual yes men who are just going to tell us what we want to hear. And unfortunately, worldly counselors are very often that way. They will simply tell you what you want to hear. But we should look for counselors who are going to tell us the truth. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8, you might remember that King Ahab he was the king of Israel, and he had determined to go to war with the Syrians. Now, it just so happened that Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, was present and who was going to join him in that battle. They had decided to seek counsel from prophets to see if they would be successful. Before they decided to engage in the war and the battle, they decided that they would seek counsel of various prophets to see what the outcome would be. And they had 400 prophets who said, yes, go ahead and go. But those 400 prophets were merely yes men. They were saying what the king wanted to hear. And Jehoshaphat had the sense to ask for a second opinion. He said, well, isn't there somebody else that we can ask? Apparently, Jehoshaphat could see through these spiritual yes men. He could see that they were just telling the king what he wanted to hear. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. You know, there's one more guy we could ask, but he's always saying bad things. And my guess is that he'll say something bad if I ask him this. I just don't want to ask him. I hate him because he always tells me things that go against what I want to do. Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of people today who are like that. They don't want to hear the truth. If the truth is contrary to their own desires, they don't want to hear that. Sometimes we hear people who grow upset at the preaching of a sermon, or maybe they grow upset at a discussion that they've heard in a Bible class. Now, it's not a question as to whether it was right or wrong, but they've just grown offended. It was sometimes too close to home. They don't want to hear the truth, and they're upset when the truth is described. We've got to not be that way. We've got to seek counsel, and good counsel will always tell us the truth. Furthermore, a good counselor is going to be the kind of person who genuinely cares for your soul. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, talking about, I believe, the elders, when he talks about those who have the rule over you, he says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So the writer of Hebrews says, you need to submit, be obedient and submissive to those who rule over you. Notice the reason why he says, because they're watching for your souls. They have a genuine concern and care for your soul. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for counselors like that. Again, contrasting good counselors with worldly counselors, very often worldly counselors deal only with temporal happiness. The emphasis here is that good counselors care for your soul. They care for spiritual things. They care for eternal things. Versus counselors of a worldly nature, they may be only concerned about your temporal happiness. Do what makes you happy right now. Haven't you heard of instances where maybe someone was seeking counsel about a marriage problem? And a worldly counselor says, well, just get out of that marriage. You're not happy in that marriage. If it's not fulfilling to you, if it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be, if it's not all that you hope it would be, just leave that husband or leave that wife and go find you another one. Do whatever it takes to make you happy. Well, that's what the worldly counselor would say. Because he's not watching for your soul. See, he's just interested, or he's focused on temporal, this world pleasure, this world happiness. But a good counselor is going to genuinely care for your soul. As we just read there in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, they watch for your soul. That's the kind of counselor that you need to be seeking. Furthermore, a good counselor is the kind of person who will have time for you and who will make time for you. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. There have been a a few times in my life when I have really been blessed to have people like that who would be of a help and an assistance to me. And I hope that you have had that same experience and that you can have those kinds of friends and those kinds of brethren that you can depend upon. I remember in particular one time talking to a brother about a problem, and I was telling him about my problem, and immediately when I was talking about me and my problem, he began to talk about us and what we're going to do. He put himself right in there. He wasn't talking about, well, here's what you ought to do. Here's the solution to your dilemma. His response upon me expressing the situation, what I was dealing with, instead of saying this is what you ought to do, he immediately began to use the pronouns, here's what we should do. Here are the things that are, you know, that we need to change and so forth. And I just thought that was such an amazing thing that he cared that much that he immediately made my problem his problem. He truly was bearing another's burdens. Now that's the kind of people we're looking for when we're looking for counselors. And so we need to look for that sort of person. But this verse tells us not only should we be looking for those kind of people when we have needs and troubles, but that we ought to be that kind of person when others come to us with needs and issues. We ought to be the kind of people who are open to help others, who make ourselves available to them. Good counselors are of that nature. It takes that sort of person to really be able to listen, to make their problem make your problem their own, and to help you work for a solution. Also, we need counselors who are good examples. As I was telling you at the outset, a lot of the things we're saying here simply amount to good common sense sort of observations that are also grounded and provable in the Scripture. For instance, you know, we need to have somebody who's going to counsel us from the real source, the Word of God. We need people who have had practical experience in applying the Word of God. We need them to always tell us the truth, to really care for our soul, to take the time for us. This one, though, is just ultimately common sense. We need counselors who are good examples themselves. Think for a minute. Imagine this sort of scenario. You need a mechanic. Your car is, you know, not working properly, and you're having some real problems with your car. And so you're going to take your car to a mechanic, and someone says, well, I know so-and-so, and he works on cars. Go see him. Well, you go to this guy's house where he does his repair work, and there in the garage is his own car. And it's irreparably disassembled all over the garage floor, you know. And you say, what's that there? And he says, you know, I don't know. I took it off, but I'm not sure how to put it back on. And he expresses to you his complete inability to repair his own car. Well, let me ask you a question. You going to let that guy work on your car? Or you go to a dentist. And when you go into the dentist's office, he comes into the examining room and he smiles at you. He hasn't got a tooth in his mouth. You're going to let him work on your teeth? Well, those are just common sense. No way, right? Well, what about someone to be a counselor to us in important spiritual matters, things of the soul, things that have to do with eternity, but their own life is not what it ought to be? They're not living a good example themselves. If they're not living it themselves, they're not in a position to be able to give you good counsel and good advice. Paul talked to Timothy or in Titus about this, 1 Titus. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Notice, here are some who suggested that they know God. They profess to know God, but their works deny him, their own lives are denial of what they claim. You wouldn't want advice from somebody like that. When Paul wrote to Timothy, and when he specified or laid out the qualifications of elders, an important qualification of elders, a bishop must be blameless. Also, he must have a good report of them which are without. When we think of elders, those are the kind of men that we look for when we're trying to appoint elders to oversee a local congregation. Men themselves who have established a good example. Why? Because they're not going to be able to do their job. We're not going to trust them. We're not going to have any confidence in them. if their own lives are a mess. And so we need good counselors. As we said at the outset, all of us have been in the position from time to time where we just needed someone to talk to. We needed someone who could give us advice and instruction, dealing with a hard time or a problem or a dilemma, having a big choice that we need to make. Who are you going to seek out at such times as that? We all have to do that from time to time. It's important. It's needful. Who are you going to look for? We need to look for a good counselor. And these characteristics, I don't know that this is necessarily a categorical listing of all the characteristics of a good counselor, but these are certainly six important characteristics that we ought to be looking for. I'm concerned sometimes when I hear people who are sort of pouring out their heart to people that are really not in a position to give them any good advice. Look for good counselors who give you the right instruction. We hope that will be an encouragement to us all along that line. It, as we said, it's a sort of a practical matter. It's a needful thing. And so hopefully those guidelines will be helpful to us. We're going to end our lesson with a song of invitation, as we always do. If you are in attendance tonight but not a Christian yet, we would encourage you to make that decision and make that commitment. The gospel plan of salvation is very simple to understand. It's spelled out to us in the Word of God in ways that we can very simply understand and put into practice. If you've heard the truth and believe it, then you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're ready to do that, we're ready to assist you. If you need more study, we'll study with you more. But we want to know how we can help you in that most important decision of life. If you're a Christian already, but you've fallen back, you've not been serving faithfully, then come back to Him in repentance, confession, and prayer. If we can help, let us know while we stand and sing this song.